The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. So this past weekend, I was in the Gulf of Mexico, left Saturday morning, came back on Tuesday night, an overnighter fishing, and it was a lot of fun, caught a lot of great fish, but came back Tuesday night and got right back after it on Wednesday at the office, and Thursday came around really, really quick, and here it will be Friday pretty soon. I'm telling you, if you're listening on Saturday morning, it's already behind you. We got a wedding this weekend. Hot Rod's son's getting married on Saturday.
Right.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed Rod wasn't in the office today. They must be preparing
final
for
prep.
The final prep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's going to be great. I'll be out there on Saturday witnessing it. I think he had towing 200 people. So Jim Edmond Jr., of course, you just heard his voice, which might indicate it is the question and answer show. Again, if you have questions, we try to have the answers. But man, Jimmy, I've got news of the week here, and it's scattered all over the place. But we'll first give Kenny Bland Auctions a shout out. They're your full service auction service. They can offer you the pre-planning of the sale of your estate or real estate. Give them a shout or visit them online, KennyBlandAuctions.com. And Lance Light, got a good, great new commercial, Lance, by the way. I really thought the myths of Medicaid were really good. Lance Like, Like Law Group, give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Jimmy, you scratched out a couple things for News of the Week that are not necessarily market-related. Obviously, the big news when I was gone, so I'm on the boat, no service, and one of the guys said, what do you think the chances of Biden's going to drop out of the race?
Right.
I said, I'm going to give it a 50-50. Frank said, I'm going to give it 60-40. And then Tom said, I'm going to say 100%. And he had just a little glimpse of service, and a news alert came through that Biden was out of the race. And I'm like, oh, man, man, what? And I couldn't wait to get home to watch the news and see what's going on because I was off the grid.
Right.
But you had a lot of interesting history here when it comes to
well, I mean, the whole analysis of Biden stepping away and not fulfilling us or going after a second term is not terribly common, obviously, but the most recent one was Lyndon Johnson. He was one of the few presidents who never really went through an election because he was JFK's vice president. JFK obviously was assassinated. He was inaugurated there in Dallas, and then he didn't take a second term. Harry Truman took office in 1945 after Franklin Roosevelt passed away. He didn't seek re-election after a second term, and that was right in the time of 1951 when the 22nd Amendment was passed that officially limited a president to two terms. FDR famously took four terms for his presidency, barely getting into the fourth one before he passed away. William Henry Harrison, James Polk, Zachary Taylor, James Buchanan, Rutherford B. Hayes, James Garfield, Warren G. Harding. If you need your Social Security social studies lesson for the day, we'll talk Social Security later. All of them did not seek re-election for various reasons. Some passed away. Some just determined different things and whatnot. So yeah, it's kind of interesting for him being 81 years old, the oldest president ever in office, to make this decision. And I think, as he said in his Wednesday night address, something to the effect of that personal pride aside, democracy was more important, I think was a rough way he said that.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to run the second time the first time. He said, I'm just doing this one time. And then I was talking to John Weikart just today at John Holmes' visitation. Of course, John Holmes, the legendary coach and athletic director at at Edgewood High School, also Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame inductee, and was pretty cool. I went as a representative, not just because I love the Holmes family, but I went as a representative of the Hall of Fame, and they really appreciate it. And on the little thing that was flipping through the pictures, there was his acceptance speech to the Hall of Fame.
That's awesome.
That was one of the things he was very, very proud of. But John Weikart said, you know, it's like people around you, when you're in office, especially at that high of a level, they just cling on to the power and the prestige, he said, and they were probably pushing him to do something that he probably didn't intend to do the first time. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. We've had assassination attempts. I was fishing in a place called Zeke's Landing out of Orange Beach, Alabama, and just to get in the gates and to get to your boats and stuff like that, I told Frank, I said, man, this is more secure than a Trump rally. We just got a lot of crazy stuff going on. But anyway,
yes,
we've got a good show lined up. Market's been a little bit wonky recently. Stocks, obviously, last year were under pressure. Investors appear to rotate out of those mega cap techs into areas that may benefit from lower interest rates going forward. So you had the S&P was down. NASDAQ was down a lot, like 3.65%. Dow squeaked out a little bit of a positive thing. I think it was, let's see, they were up, 0.72%. The week started off very differently than it ended. All three averages rallied over the first couple of days of last week, with the Dow leading on both days. Fed Chairman Powell indicated the Fed may not wait for inflation to reach its 2% target before considering a rate move, and that made the markets go. Then the markets hit a speed bump, appeared to taking profits, rotated away from mega cap names. The selling then broadened out and continued into this week as well. Then we have some GDP reports. The economy grew faster than expected the second quarter, had solid gains in consumer spending as well, business investment, but inflation pressures are starting to subside a little bit, leaving intact the expectations of a September interest rate cut from the Federal Reserve. That out of Reuters this morning. Thank you for that, Jimmy. All right,
no
Jim,
problem.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into the questions of the week, really of the month. And it never surprises me that we have a lot of Social Security questions. That's always a big one. And once again, I did no preparation for the show. You did it all for me. So it's going to be, these questions, are as big a surprise to you as they are to me. So let's take a break. We'll come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. I did get a news alert from Ed Slotts Group on the 18th that IRS issues final required minimum distribution regulations. It said this morning on July 18th. So, again, this is a little bit old, but it was new, and I printed it off and put it on my stack. The final regulations under Secure Act 2.0 from the 2020 timeframe, there's 260 pages of regulation, and Ed's office is currently pouring through those, so they'll give me more details shortly. But one important issue that we were kind of awaiting some guidance on was concerns whether beneficiaries must take annual required minimum distributions during a 10-year payout period. So that includes beneficiaries subject to the 10-year rule who inherit an IRA from an owner who died on or after their required beginning days, meaning when they had to start taking required minimum distributions. In the final regulations, the IRS has confirmed that the RMDs are required in this situation beginning in 2025. So we had a couple years where we weren't sure, so they were kept waiving them. And now they've come out and said, nope, you've got to start taking the RMDs in 2025. So they gave us a break. They will not impose any penalties for the RMDs not taken for any of the years before 2025. It's pretty complicated, folks, but when you inherit a retirement account, it depends on who you are, how old you are, how old they were, in determining how those distributions will happen. And if you mess it up, the penalties are pretty darn stiff. So don't mess that up, something you do not want to mess up. All right, we did have the Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Friday night, right before I took off for Orange Beach. It was outstanding. Jordy Halls, to me, was one of the greatest talks. He really got emotional. Eric Moore was great. We had Greg Granger. He was really funny as well. I got to laugh at him. Like, he's a guy that obviously was drafted in the sixth round, went to play, I think, for the Braves, and after about 6 years just decided he didn't want to do that anymore, and he went to work at Rolling Meadows Golf Course to become like a cut grass and make the golf course great.
Really?
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean,
so he's a local guy now.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know he was still yep. in the area.
Yep, he sure is. Bill Atkinson, of course, and then Mossbrucker at the end, man. He told one of the board members, we try to keep the speeches to about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven, okay. But some of them were like 40. And and what's crazy, all of them said, yeah, mine's about 5 minutes. I timed it out. Okay, great. Well, it lasted a long time. We're going to have to address that as a board. We will. And my wife, she said, I enjoy coming to these, but that was really, really long. And I'm like, yeah, we've got to shorten it up so people keep coming back. But 270 people attended.
That's
Friday.
That's fantastic.
And we're trying to raise more money for scholarships because we want to continue to – we want to add Lighthouse in because they're now in a sanctioned school. We have, of course, Edgewood, North, South. We try to award scholarships to two athletes, both a female and a male athlete. And we want to raise that from 1,000 to 2,000. So, yeah, like I said, the banquet, if it's in your heart to donate to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to the website, donate now, and put in the memo that you're supporting the scholarship program. So with that said, Jimmy, let's get to the questions of the week.
All right. First up here is hopefully a good, easy one to come into. I've heard you mention a manual rebalance before. What does that term mean? Is it something that I need to do? Does my financial advisor handle it? And how often should a rebalance occur?
That's a great question. So it's a way to automatically sell things when they're high and buy things when they're a little bit lower. You know, that's the old joke, you know, buy low, sell high. Mm-hmm. Well, a rebalance would say, okay, hey, I had money in this one fund that's done great, and I have another fund that's maybe in a different sector, it's not done so well, and I press to rebalance, and it sells the high and buys more the low, and it's a technique to kind of manage your risk over time. Personally, if you're doing it manually, I would say when your allocation is out of whack about 3 to 5%, that's when you might want to do a manual reallocation. And if you're in a 401k, it's super easy. Go usually right online, press rebalance, it'll hit you right back to your original allocation. Make sure you change future contributions if you do change your allocations as well. If you're working with an advisor, it depends. If you're working in a commission environment where it's more point in time reviews, you're probably gonna have to give them a call. But if it's more of a fee-based advisor, like most of the stuff that I do, we're doing it for you. So you don't have to make a phone call to make that happen. But it's a risk management tool. Buy low, sell high. It doesn't necessarily take risk completely off the table. Obviously, nothing does, but it does help keep you in balance with the allocation that you picked originally.
Okay. Next question is on Social Security. This one, I think, was one of Wayne's clients. When will I receive my Social Security payment?
Well, it depends on when your birthday is. So the answer is if you're born on the 1st through the 10th, you'll get paid on the second Wednesday of the month. If you were born on the 11th through the 20th of the month, you get paid on the third Wednesday of the month. If you're born after the 20th of the month, you get paid on the fourth Wednesday of the month. So that's a really good question because I know a lot of people want to know when they're going to get it, and then they may want to take a distribution from their retirement plan to maybe if it's the 20th, maybe you want one on the 10th so you can spread your income more evenly throughout the month. That's a really good question. And these are, you know, there's some you know, exceptions, like if you have children or spouses, if they're receiving benefits based on someone else's work record, that might be paid on the same day as the beneficiary's primary beneficiary. So there's a few quirky things, but I think this question was revolving around their Social Security benefit.
Yep, and one other thing also, because Wayne mentioned it at a later time, the person asked about when they got their check, and they don't do checks anymore. Social Security stopped doing that about 11 years or so ago. Another thing about Social Security, received an email saying that I need to change my login information to view my Social Security accounts. Is this a scam or is this a legitimate email?
I don't think that's legitimate.
It is legitimate, actually.
Okay, see, that was a guess. I'm thinking typically most places like the IRS and Social Security or your bank, if there's something going on, you know, I mean, I guess it could be legit, but I mean, I know, like, for instance, my bank called me today, and I have them in my phone, and I thankfully I was there to answer it. I'd written a check to buy a tractor from somebody, and they were calling to verify that I wrote this check to this person for this amount. And I'm like, yep, but they probably wouldn't email me that, but I don't know.
Well, what's happened is that the Social Security Department is trying to improve their online security access and things like that. So they've sent out this email. If you have the My Social Security information, you can still use that, but it's going to ultimately drive you to either id.me or login.gov to create a new account online. It's free. There's an online chat if you want to do that. If this is also to access your annual statement, if you will, to see what your benefits are and things like that. Social Security only mails out annual statements to people who are 60 or older and do not have an online account. So if you're like David and I, you're not going to get that option to have something mailed to you. If you have sweet grandma Betty Lou, who's 83 and doesn't have an online account, then she very likely will get
my
yearly
guess
statement.
Is if you're already on benefits, you probably don't get a statement. It may be people that are 60 up until whatever
certain
time
age
to start taking them.
Yeah.
You mentioned online the what do they call it, CrowdStrike tech outage?
Yeah.
Man, that was nutso.
So I think that started like either last Thursday night, Friday morning, and from what I understood from a
my
couple friends in the tech
working
world
for a while,
and we had a client in yesterday who had a similar issue, but it was they put in a patch into an update.
It's scary to think how quickly the world got shut down.
And it wasn't a matter of redoing the update. It just obviously threw everything off. If you paid any attention to airline flights and hospitals and even like going to get gas.
All surgeries got canceled on Friday.
Yeah. And this was global.
Yeah.
And this is a company who has its fingers in countless industries across the globe. And how that shut things down so fast is a little bit more than concerning to me.
So I called my hotel the morning, Friday morning, because I wanted to book my room. And I hadn't booked my room yet because last time I booked my room and we had to cancel the trip because of weather, they said you had to call within 48 hours. Well, we didn't know we were going to cancel till the night before, so I kind of got hosed on that whole deal. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll wait till the day before. So for sure going, whatever, I could give them a call. I couldn't get through, first of all. I finally get through to somebody, and they said, well, we can't make any reservations. Everything's down. I go, okay, what am I supposed to do? Well, try to call back later. So 11:30 on Friday night, I'm leaving the Hall of Fame thing, heading home, I call and happen to make it to a national reservation line for DoubleTree or whatever, and I make the reservation, thankfully. I get to the hotel, and they were like, we can't check in with anybody because we don't even know what room people are out of, in to. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go to the pool because we got there Saturday so we could enjoy the beach and then go fishing the next morning. So about 4 o'clock rolled around, I walked back in the hotel, and they had an old school method, keys laying out, you know, names written on things. So we got in our room, and everything turned out okay. My brother's Chase debit card didn't work. So I don't know, he finally got that figured out, but that was convenient that his debit card didn't work. He didn't have any cash.
Well, we've got
and his older brother's with him.
Boy, it takes you back, doesn't it?
Oh, it takes me way back.
We've got some mutual friends who went to London last weekend to see their daughter over there for 2 weeks, and they were very concerned that they were flying out Saturday morning, and like it's all happening on Friday, but they ultimately made it there apparently fairly easy, so
crazy.
It's kind of hit and miss, but yeah, the power that one company had is pretty remarkable for sure.
All right, let's take another break. We come back. I think we had a couple more Social Security questions, and then it looks like working in retirement. That's another good one. Again, Social Security related. So we come back. We'll jump right on it. It's the question and answer show with David Hayes and Jim Emmon Jr. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. If you miss any of the show on Thursday night, which many of you do, pick it up on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WGCL 98.7. And it's also online, WGCLradio.com, or wherever you pick up your favorite podcasts as well. Jimmy, all right, back to the questions and answer show.
Yep, you
fired
got it
out.
So next question is, I'm under full retirement age, taking Social Security and working. How much can I earn without penalty?
So first, full Social Security age. If you're born after 1960 and after, it's 67. So let's just go with that. So basically, if you make more than a certain amount of money, it works out to around $1,860 a month. Now, it's, you don't have to make it monthly. You can add all that up into one big number. But once you make more than that, and then you're not full retirement age, by the way, once you hit full retirement age, you can go make whatever you want, no big deal, that they will hold back $1 for every $2 that you make over that amount. And then eventually there's a level where they'll withhold $1 for every $3 that you go over a certain amount. There's some things when it's your first year of retirement where you can make a certain amount of money before they're going to dig into your pocket. But these rules, definitely know these rules, because you want, if you're not sure that you may, you know, if you're not sure you're totally retired and you can, I would definitely hold off on taking Social Security early for a lot of reasons. One, because you take a pretty big hit to your check if you take it at 62 or 63, 64 as opposed to 67. But what if you do go back to work? Now, if you do go back to work and you do make more than that, those dollars that they hold back kind of get thrown back into the delay credits. So you don't necessarily lose them forever. They do go back into a recalculated amount. So when you do officially stop working, your payment might be a little higher than what you'd originally anticipated it to be.
So this one kind of ties into that as well. When we talk about retirement, it sounds as though someone is completely stopping work. This person is planning to work as long as she can, maybe not in a full-time role, but in some capacity. So what things should she consider in her financial plan if she plans to continue working well into the ages of retirement?
Well, I think Social Security, I mean, if you can work and delay to 70, why not? I mean, you get inflation increases, an 8% increase. I mean, that's pretty substantial. And then, you know, you're going to save more money. You can continue to save. You can put money into a Roth if you want. But working just an extra 1 or 2 years, you'd be shocked how it can make a really decent retirement, a great retirement. And there really isn't a lot of things. You should continue to pay even when you are. Here's something that we did. I remember Keith Klein, our buddy Keith.
Yeah.
He worked at Ivy Tech. You know, he was never going to retire. And we said, okay, Keith, why don't you live off of your Social Security at 70, and then we will defer money into the retirement account, the same amount to offset it. So it allowed him to put a lot more money into his retirement account. And Social Security is not 100% taxable, and it's not taxed at all at the state level. So those are some considerations, too. You might want to decide, I'll spend my Social Security and then go save a bunch of money in my 401k.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Next question is, how do I know how much to save from my paycheck? With the cost of so many things going up, it's hard to do more than just the match my company provides. But I don't want to lose out on any potential long-term growth.
You know, that's a tough question to answer, because number one, it's always been the 10% rule, right? Right. When you get a job, start trying to save 10%. I know it's hard for a lot of people. Sometimes people will just save what the match is, 3%, 4%, 6%. And that's okay, but because you can play some catch up later. I think what I do want to say to people who maybe haven't saved enough is that don't get discouraged. Let's say you're like my age, 54. I have a son that's 23. Well, you'll be amazed in your 50s if you're married, where your expenses go down because your kids are gone. Maybe some things got paid off. And now I see people saving one full check. So they're saving sometimes 40, 50% of household income to play catch up. So 10% rule is a good rule to follow. But the older you get, the more you're going to have to put away, especially if you're playing a little bit of catch up.
Agreed. Let's do one more here. My wife is starting a new job and her employer only offers a 403B. Mm-hmm. Should we use this or should we open an IRA?
Well, that's a good question, too, because a 403B, that's for like a school system, hospitals. They're usually not-for-profits. Not-for-profit can have a 401K. It's just one's an ERISA plan, which follows the federal laws, and one is a little more, you know, kind of on your own and not as many regs to follow. Usually the expenses can be a little bit less as well. So I would say it depends. One, are you getting a match? Definitely take advantage of that. Two, does it have a Roth option? And if it does not, I would definitely get your match, but then I would put the rest of my money into a Roth and IRA on the outside. But yeah, that's 403Bs, 457s, 401Ks, they're pretty much all the same. They just kind of fall under different categories as far as federal law goes.
Okay.
Let's take a break, Jimmy.
All righty, sir.
When we come back, net unrealized appreciation. I do see that one. That's a good one. That means if you own stock in your company plan, you definitely want to stick around to listen to this very, very underutilized but high impact tax strategy. It's called net unrealized appreciation. When we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Haidt. It is the question and answer show. And Jimmy, if someone has a question, there's a variety of ways they can get a hold of us to have that question answered. One is the good old phone.
Yes.
Which we're happy. There's always an advisor around to can answer a question. At you guys know our number, 812-334-3190. But if they email, you'll be the one picking it up on the other end.
Correct. CFC at cfci.us is our email. Our website, cfci.us. You can go there, click on Contact Us, send in the email, send in your question, whatever it is. We'll get you answered right away, and we may use your question here. Put up a request on Facebook this week as well, so you can find us on Facebook.
Oh, did you?
And,
I didn't see that.
Yep.
I haven't been
yep,
on
a couple
Facebook.
Days back. So there's countless ways. I mean, you can reach out all different kinds of ways and let us know, or stop by the office. We may have donuts.
yeah, we do. For some reason, we have a lot of snacks. I don't know. I still have Girl Scout cookies from a year ago that I bought for Ryan's girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy them because, you know, that's what you do. You buy,
right.
buy them. And then they sat in my office for a year. And then finally, Doug Hughes walked in and he said, oh, Thin Mints. So I said, take them. So he took them. There's always snacks at our office.
I bought two boxes and put them up high on the shelf over my desk. And Doug would walk by about twice a week. And he's like, oh, can I have one? Like, yeah. Can I have one? Yeah. And suddenly they all disappeared, and I never got any of them, but that's all right. We had cookies in the office, and somebody attacked them as soon as they came in this week, so I put a Facebook picture up that said, you know, cookies are here. Guess who the culprit is, and the largest photo is the person who stole them, and it might happen to be Doug Hughes.
What's crazy, Doug looks great, man. He's lost all this weight.
I know.
That Maybe that's the key, eat cookies. All right, so I want to talk about this.
Yes.
A lot of people who work for, you know, big corporations have company stock in their retirement plans. A lot of times these companies use the stock to match your contributions. But here's what you need to know. You need to know that the special tax treatment of that is unprecedented, especially if it's highly appreciated. And there's a couple of companies, and we know who they are, so a very generous, well-known one up in Indianapolis. And their stock price has gone crazy. So people I'm seeing that work for that company, and the only reason I'm not mentioning it, you guys know who it is. I just don't want to do the disclosure stuff. So here we go. So maybe you've worked there for 30 years and the stock is worth $500 a share, but there is a little area on your statement will say what the cost basis is. So I had one recently come in whose cost basis was around $80,000. The value was like $500,000, maybe even more. And I'm like, okay, let's don't touch a thing, because they were worried about the stock price maybe going down. It was a significant part of their retirement account. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a 100% rollover to the IRA, except for the stock. We're going to pull that out, not into an IRA, but into a joint account with your wife. We will pay taxes on the $80,000 only. And then the remainder of your balance is considered a long-term capital gain, which is a much more favorable tax treatment. And if we do it right, and we're going to do it right, we'll be able to, under the current tax rules for this year and next year, I don't know about after that we could potentially pay no income taxes on it because of the way the tax structure works on capital gains in relationship with other income. So I projected that we'll be able to unwind a significant amount of stock, pay no income taxes, get on ACA credits because they're not 65 and going on Medicare quite yet. It's going to be incredible. They're going to be able to get healthcare really cheap, pay very little tax on the stock, and glide right into age 65 Medicare, and then glide into Social Security and do some things to protect the stock. Otherwise, you can buy insurance basically on your stock price. It's called a put. I'm not going to get into that today. But yeah, it's outstanding. So you guys know, if you have stock in your plan, don't sell it. Don't change it, because if you sold it in your plan and anybody bought it, you established a new cost basis. So the original cost basis, preserve that baby, because that is a little gem inside of your 401k. And if you know somebody that works for a company that has stock, they're a publicly traded company, make sure you tell them, hey, I heard David talk about this on the radio. I don't know much about it, but here I'm going to send you this link and you listen to that little segment. And if anyone needs help with that, please don't mess that up. It's super important. Then email us, call us, whatever. We'd be happy to walk you through that.
All right. Question about a Roth IRA. If someone took money out of an inherited Roth IRA, Can they roll the money back in within 60 days?
Unfortunately, no. I know the situation very well. That was the intent. They were going to take it out, take care of some debts they had, and then they had some money coming from a sale of real estate, and they wanted to put it back in, and unfortunately, you cannot. And what's bad about inheriting a Roth, or good about inheriting a Roth, you don't have to take required distributions. You don't have to touch it for 10 years. They just inherited this like a year ago. So they had 9 more years of potential tax-free growth before they had to touch it. And they just did it, you know, and didn't really tell me that they had intended to put the money back. Otherwise, we could have maybe figured out a different way for them to get some short-term money and handle that situation differently.
Okay. This one's kind of a unique one. If you, I've heard you say that a beneficiary form trumps a will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about a prenuptial agreement. Does that override a beneficiary form?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you can have a prenup that will have to handle all these assets or all this stuff that you wanted to protect. But if you put down Jim Emmon Jr. on your 401k, now, I will say this, an ERISA plan to not have your spouse listed as a beneficiary, they have to sign off. They do not have to sign off on an IRA or a 403B. You can have whoever you want as your beneficiary. But mm-hmm. if you're married, it has to be your spouse unless they sign off. So no, if you have a prenup and I still put you down as 100% on this beneficiary form, that trumps it all. That's where the money's going to go.
Okay. I think that's, you're talking about the different accounts. I think that's even the same for a basic health savings account as well, that if you have an account, is that what I'm thinking? No, disregard. Scratch that. Never mind. Banking mistake. I had a form pop in my head when you said that, and I'm like, wait, that's not the right form. So
yeah, I mean,
I'll shut up on that.
You know, the other question that we've had recently, and it's a legitimate thing, is like, what if your daughter, which this was the case, so my client's daughter was going to get married, and he wasn't exactly sure about this person, so he thought, well, maybe she should have a prenup to protect her future inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, here's the problem: she can get rid of the prenup. It's her prenup with him, not your prenup with him. So her prenup with him would not protect those assets if they just said, you know what, we're going to annul the prenup. So if that's what you want to do, you need trust involved. You need the money going to a family trust or trust for your daughter that has certain limitations on how she can access the money, if something would happen to her, where the money would go if it didn't go to him. So, yeah, and then you can change the trust. But once you die, a trust becomes irrevocable, so you cannot change it after you die. A revocable trust while you're living becomes irrevocable when you die.
Okay, sounds good. We got two more left. You want to take a break? Or you want to hit one of them?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got about 10 minutes of talk time left. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, the question and answer show. Again, if you have a question, you're always welcome to go to our website, contact us. It'll go to Jim. We will get you a response. I will say we rarely get questions that way. Normally the questions will come through the phone or an email, which is completely fine because you can go online and find all of our emails. I am not great at email. I sometimes will take a day or two to get to my email. My philosophy on email, when email first came about, which, you know, I was around, mm-hmm. you know, when email kind of became a thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, when mail comes to my house, it sits on the counter for sometimes days before I get around to opening it up. And then if it requires a response, I might take another few more days to do a response. So I'm thinking, why is electronic mail any different than regular mail? So that's always been my philosophy. Now, I do try to check it in the morning. Now, you try to check at least mm-hmm. before I leave. But sometimes I'll go days with just a juggernaut of emails. So that's why email Jim. No, don't email me. And I usually do the top down, so the most recent get answered first. And sometimes, I was just cleaning up last Wednesday's emails. Now, granted, I was gone
right
over the weekend. But last Wednesday, I mean, I was in the Fridays when I had the Hall of Fame, but I was in the office, but I didn't get to.
You were
to
running
Wednesdays.
Around crazy getting everything done.
Oh,
so,
I
yeah.
I know. All right, Jimmy.
All good. So, and questions also come out of advisor meetings like one here as well with clients. So, had somebody who is retiring this month and they are looking to get insurance, but they can't get on Medicare until January of next year. They were trying to figure out what their options were, if it would be the Affordable Health Care Act. COBRA has a high cost. They're just trying to figure out what they might be able to do to make that bridge.
Yeah, we don't go uninsured, especially at that age. No age should you, but especially at that age. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of options. I mean, obviously, COBRA is the easiest one. You just stay on the coverage that you have. You can stay on for usually 18 months, sometimes up to 3 years in some situations. But you're right. You're going to pay the full boat. So a lot of folks, maybe pay 20% of their costs, and all of a sudden their premiums go to $1,500 for a married couple. So that may not be something that you want to take. You can go on the exchange. It's very much an income-driven approach. My wife and I are on the exchange. We jumped off our health insurance at the office, jumped on the exchange. It made better for everybody. And you can do that. And depending on your income would determine your premium. Some people, like I said, can manipulate your income, where it comes from, non-taxable sources. That could be a Roth, that could be money you've already paid tax on, and get ACA credits. They're very affordable. But you've had a disruption in your coverage, so you're eligible to do that. You don't have to wait till open enrollment. And yeah, Josh brought up the idea of buying a private insurance that's just catastrophic with maybe a $10,000 deductible, pretty darn cheap, and get them through the finish line here into Medicare. So there are a lot of options. Some are very low cost, some are high cost, and everything in between.
And final question here.
That's the number one reason people don't retire early, is they're worried about health care.
Sure.
I will say this. I was with, the tire and wheel guy, Dave.
Otsby,
his wife, the other day. And Dave passed away in the last couple years, I think. Mm-hmm. Dave was funny. Funny.
Big box stores.
Yeah, but big box stores. And I mean, staunch conservative. And I remember when he was needing some health insurance and the Affordable Health Care Act had just got passed. And I said, well, this is an option for you. I'm not going on Obamacare. And I said, well, let me at least explain to you how this works. And I said, basically, if we do this, then your insurance is going to be like only a couple hundred dollars a month. And he goes, huh. Well, Obamacare is not that bad after all, is it? And I say, that's the problem, Dave. Everyone hates it until it's good for them.
That's true.
Anyway, just a quick funny story. Linda was in, and I appreciate her sharing good stories with Dave, and we had a nice laugh about that.
That's awesome.
All right, Dave, keep on going.
Next one is, my father is in his late 70s and overall good mental and physical health. He and my mother worked and saved, and they had a nice retirement account. My mother passed away a few years ago. My father doesn't want to discuss his finances with me or my siblings. We don't want to pry into his personal matters, but we also don't want to be caught off guard if something happens to him and we are suddenly handling his finances. How do you suggest we handle this conversation?
Well, it depends on where you're at in the conversation. So I have a few tricks that I've used over the years for people. And one would be, if you've not talked about it at all, if you've been trying to pry, his guard's up. That's going to be tough. If you haven't really started to pry, ask a question to get an answer. So you might say something like, hey, Dad, how did you and Mom handle this when you were doing your planning for your retirement, your estate? Because me and Misty, we're getting ready to go to the attorney, and I just was curious like how you guys did it. That will open up a conversation, usually. Privacy with these older people, it's big to them. I mean, I have clients, gosh, that are older than this, that I'm like, do your kids know anything? They're like, no. Please bring them in. It's just going to make everything better. And they usually have, one. Hopefully they have one. Maybe if they don't have any kids, then maybe it's a trusted friend or something. But it's a tough one. I mean, sometimes you don't know until they're gone, or you have a catastrophic event happen. Maybe they have memory issues and they get lost, and now you have to jump in. But they need to have a power of attorney. They need to have an appointment of health care. Those are so important, because if something happened to Dad, and I would probably forget the money and approach it that way. Hey, Dad, what if something would happen to you? Who's going to handle your finances? Who's going to help you make healthcare decisions? Hey, this is what I'm doing with mine. Or how did you and Mom make that choice? And just open up the conversation. I mean, most parents don't want to make it hard on their kids. I mean, I just had a conversation this week with a couple who are pretty substantial estate, and they want to get it organized. So I'm helping him with that. And the lady, the female client, said, you know, when mom died, it was just all right there. Like, everything was laid out. It was organized. It was together. It wasn't scattered over. He goes, we're all scattered everywhere. We want to get this organized. And they're not even in their 70s. You know, they're like my age.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard one. It's a hard one. But, I mean, I have some tricks or, you know, it's a hard one, but I think you're right. The more you pry, the more they dig in sometimes. But kind of take another approach to it, maybe a little bit of an end around, and you'll get what you need.
That's it on my end, sir.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back, everyone. I had another question here I brought with me, but I'm not, it's too long-winded to go into it at the end of the program. I also had another one come in when they were asking me how capital gains are on gold and silver. And I was like, huh, that's a really good question, because they're considered a collectible, not a commodity from a tax standpoint. So therefore, they're taxed a different tax rate when you buy or sell, if you're reporting it, than other things. So I saved that one for next time.
I'm writing it down myself.
I saved it for next time.
Yep.
I had another one with disclaiming from a retirement account. So if I'm a beneficiary and I don't want to take the money, I want to disclaim it to another person, you can do that. I'll have to explain that next time, because it is a handy tool to use when you need to use it. And sometimes it is in the Medicaid planning arena where, you know, I die and it goes to my wife who's in a nursing home because I didn't do it right. And mm-hmm. But then I need to have mom disclaim it down to the kids. That's possible as well. So, yeah, there's always things to talk about here on the show. School starts up next week, I think.
Week Jimmy? After next.
Week
less
after
than 2 weeks.
And it's so nice to drive in, no traffic. There's not a line out Starbucks, you know, out on Walnut. I mean, it's just nice, like, easy drive in. But that's going to be changing pretty soon.
And as I was leaving for the radio station, I saw Ryan Belcher from the office, and he's working on a video to send out for next week's teacher orientation meeting.
Good
deal.
Yeah.
We work with the MCCSC, and we've talked about that here multiple times on the show. So just giving some of those folks a heads up of how things work and what we can do to help.
Yeah, this is a busy time of year for them, because all the teachers, administrators, everybody, bus drivers, you name it, they wanted to get together this summer. And the summer flew by, and here they are scrambling mm-hmm. right at the end to meet with those guys and get their ducks in a row as well. So it's a busy time of year. Football season's right around the corner. Colts season, Indiana football, all of that. So the month of August is going to be pretty tame for me. I'm going to still help with youth football a little bit, not full-time, but just a little bit. Moving into September, not too bad with Labor Day. Kind of gets kind of wonky. I'm going to head to Tanzania, mm-hmm. a trip to Tanzania. That's my big trip this year in the fall, of fishing and safari. And everyone's like, is it a shooting safari or just a picture? And I go, it's just a picture safari. I'm just taking pictures. I'm not shooting anything. But I am going to catch some fish. So it's going to be fun. And then before you know it, we'll be at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we'll be doing it all again. 2025, we'll have the presidential election over. Man, oh man. I can't wait till that's behind us.
You know, I think a lot of people feel the exact same way. Like, let's just get to it and be done. She's got Harris has to come up with a vice presidential candidate in like the next 5-7 days or something like that. So
I have a feeling I know who it is, but I'm going to disclose that whenever, after it happens, to tell you I knew it was that person. All right, we're going to take the long break. We'll talk to you again next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.